Welcome to another episode of the Blue Crew, a New York Rangers podcast on the Bleed Podcast Network. I'm your host, Johnny Lazarus, joined by my good friends, Cody Frankel and Avery Zarefsky. And holy fuck, do we have a lot to talk about today, because Sunday, and I'm just going to say it right now, top five day of my life. I thought that game was right up there with any other Ranger game that I've been to. My experience was probably a little bit different than yours. Your guys was probably way more fun, to be honest. But you know, credit to you guys, credit to Avery, first of all, for putting together the tailgate. You know, I was there for like 20 minutes, but it looked like you guys had a hell of a time. I don't want to talk too much to start it off. I want to hear about you guys and what your experience was. And whoever wants to take over first, by all means, go for it.
First of all, it was great to see you both. It was amazing.
I didn't even get to see Cody, though.
Yeah, dude, I know.
Me and Avery got such good picks, too.
Johnny, Johnny's obviously big time now. He's working in hockey, and we're happy for him. This is something that you know he's very good at, and we want him to do and excel at. So it was nice that I got to see him for a little bit, but it was also great to see Cody. I don't remember the last time I saw Cody. Probably
playoffs.
So, and also shout out to AJ and Alex over at New York. They helped build all the graphics for the outdoor game meetup, but they also didn't show up. So
I can't believe we met Reed. I can't.
Was Reed there? Yeah,
Reed was there.
Dude, I'm like hammered, and Avery goes, "Yo, this is Reed," and I'm like, "Huh?"
Yeah, and Cody was just like, "All right, like cool," and then he was like two and two together
because I couldn't believe it, because I've been dealing with Reed now for 3 years and I haven't met him, and I'm like, and I don't know why. Weirdly enough, I thought he was like this like 18-year-old kid.
Why?
But he's like, I don't know. Dude, AJ and Alex made it seem like he was just like this 18-year-old kid. Dude, he's the man.
I don't know if I ever told the backstory of that how I met Reed. I've known Reed longer than everybody.
That's crazy. Yeah, that's crazy.
I started a New York Rangers memes page when I was like 15 in middle school with Reed. And then one day I went over his house and he was like building all this merch in his basement. He's like, yo, I'm starting this company, Blue York, with these two kids. He's like, I'm looking for designers. Reed dropped out of high school and like started his own business. So he had all his money and I didn't have enough money to invest. And he obviously found AJ and Alex and they took Blue York to another level. But it's just so funny how the culmination of everything happened. Now AJ and Alex both work with me and it's crazy. But we had such a good time. I'm sure we'll get into a little bit more of it, but I had a great time.
Dude, you know Johnny didn't go hard enough at that game because he's the only one with his full voice still here.
Yes.
I was working it, bro. I was literally up in the press box working it, dude. No, I know. But yo,
what do you want me to say?
I don't know. Can you imagine not wearing a Gretzky's basement hat right now, Johnny? I couldn't be me.
Yeah.
I'm going to get one. So,
but I actually want to ask you guys. I want to ask you guys because in the press box, it was like indoor, closed off, and it was still really loud when Mika tied it and the game winner. But like the rest of the game, you couldn't really get a feel for it. How fucking loud was it? Like the whole game?
It was loud. I would say it was kind of a, you know, two different ends of the spectrum, because like the first 5 minutes of the game, right, we score, everybody goes nuts, and then I feel like the wind got sucked out of the arena real quick when we went down 4-1. And honestly, I would say, you know, there was 79,600 and something people there. I mean, at least 60,000 had to be Rangers fans. Like there were definitely Islanders fans.
There was a lot of Islander fans.
No, there were. I mean, think about 20,000 is still a decent amount, but I would say one in four people were an Islanders fan. I would definitely say 3 in 4 were Rangers fans. Like there was Rangers fans literally everywhere. And It did kind of suck out the wind a little bit when we went down 4-1, but like the Islanders fans were pretty loud. But then once we hit that second goal and then hit that third goal and there was some life, dude, when it was 4-3, I mean, from that point on for the rest of the game, I feel like there was just like roars and it was awesome. And obviously the Mika goal was insane. You thought the stadium was going to bust in half.
It was so fucking loud when Mika scored that goal.
It was so cool. Even
in the press box, it was like, you could hear it. It was sick.
Do you think? Sorry.
Go for it, Dave. No, I was just going to say, I've been to a Super Bowl at MetLife. I've seen a lot of cool things happen at MetLife, and that was probably the top experience there for sure. I had Giants and Jets fans telling me they've never felt the stadium like that before.
Never.
And to go back to the way the game started, you obviously thought the Rangers were going to take off, and everything felt like it just made sense for the Rangers to win that game. We had the jerseys. We had the atmosphere. Like, everything was just building
the walkout.
There was no way the Rangers were losing that game, no matter what happened.
But you said like we had the, it's like the Outers have jerseys too. Like,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah. Like everybody was hyped about the jerseys. Everybody was hyped about Rempe doing his first. He fought. Like, even though the Rangers went down in that game, and you know, Igor, besides the second goal, Igor shouldn't have been blamed for any of those other goals. No matter what happened in that game, I felt like we were going to win regardless, just because of the whole spectacle, the way it was all built up. We had the tailgate. Like, it just, everything just felt right. It didn't feel like the Rangers were going to lose that game, because it was one of those situations where I love this jersey so much. If the Rangers lost, I probably wouldn't be able to look at it again.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Boys, this might be a hot take, honestly, but I literally would start a petition to have this be a yearly thing for the Rangers, because, or just in hot, like, every team should get one out.
Johnny, you know what he's doing. You know what he's doing. He's doing. He saw your tweet. Unless he didn't.
No. What was his tweet?
Oh my God, I haven't seen it. This guy is unbelievable.
I thought he was just about to say the Rangers should have one outdoor game a year.
No, dude. He definitely thinks the exact same thing that you tweeted today.
Bro, what is going on? What are you guys doing? What are you guys doing? I'm sorry. I can't stop talking. I was in an outdoor game having fun yesterday.
God, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
My bad for not scrolling Twitter and tweeting throughout the game, because I wasn't taking in the experience in the moment.
No.
Please continue your thought.
I was going to say was they should honestly make it a thing in the NHL where every single team gets one outdoor game every single year, because I think it's like, dude, every team deserves to experience that every single year. Like, that was just incredible. And I think the amount of money they must have made, not only for the Rangers and the Islanders.
You want 16 outdoor games a year?
What?
You want 16 outdoor games a year?
Yeah, I fucking do. I want one outdoor game a year, I think, would be amazing for the sport of, dude, think about it. Everybody,
you know how much work that is for the NHL crew that puts the rinks together?
It's not that much work. If you do, it's not that much work. 16 a year, dude, 16 a year. You could do two a month. That's two a month.
It's really good for the game. And I agree that there needs to be like more teams involved, but I also think like, to keep it the way it is, you have to keep the teams like the Rangers and the Islanders in the mix.
Do eight every other year.
Coyotes play an outdoor game, Cody?
No, I'm not. But you know, if the Coyotes are playing like, I don't know, the Golden Knights, then yeah, maybe I'll watch it. But
you're not watching that at all.
Here's the thing, dude. Hear me out. I think it is such like, dude, I had buddies who went to the game yesterday who don't give a shit about hockey, and they were like, that was the coolest thing ever. Like, it, you know, we talk consistently as fans about the NHL building as a sport and trying to get closer and close the gap on the other big three sports, and they're never going to do it unless they do something drastic. And I think something like that will really gain viewership, and it's like such a – dude, it was an all-day thing. Think about it. We woke up at 10 a.m. and had a fucking blast, and I walked in my door after an hour of karaoke getting even more drunk last night, okay, at 9 p.m. It was awesome.
While I agree – I'm not trying to like come at you here. I do agree with what you're saying. I think it's great that the NHL does the outdoor games, but also we have to like be a little realistic. Had that game stayed at 4-1 and that been the final score, we're not really talking about the best experience ever. It's because of the way the Rangers came back that made that game what it is, obviously. But let me finish. But a lot of that has to do with the rivalry also. You have to put these outdoor games in the markets where the fans can kind of, you know, have that 50, I know it wasn't 50-50, but have that split with the fans, right? Like, that's what made this weekend so special, was that it was at a location where all these four fan bases merge within like, you know, a 45 minute to hour and a half timing radius, basically.
Yeah.
You know, these four fan bases are in such a small window of an area that it works so well, because everyone's represented. Like, obviously the Rangers fan base probably dominates the most, but every fan base was represented pretty equally throughout the weekend of some sort, you know?
Yeah. Maybe it sounds like the words of a guy who didn't, you know, tailgate for 3 and 4 hours and, you know, might've just passed by and done this. I don't know, but I hear you. But the thing is, dude, like, the tailgate was the tailgate's the experience too. Like, yeah, it was amazing.
I think that's the biggest part of it.
But like, even if the Rangers ended up losing that game 4-1, I still think I would have been like, that was unreal, because the tailgate was so fun.
And yeah, I think you can't oversaturate the market with outdoor games. It ruins the spectacle a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. And also dude, the best part about the tailgate was like we were all like cooked. And it was super cold, like windy, whatever. And we were all like, oh, God, how long could we go? And then Avery's cousin came from left field with a big-ass box of Cheez-Its, dude, and saved the day and just started giving everybody Cheez-Its. And they were the extra toasted ones. Dude, they were amazing.
Bro, the biggest win of the day besides the Rangers actually winning the game was the weather inside of MetLife. I thought it was going to be worse. It was actually unbelievable. Yeah. I took my gloves off. I was ready to take a layer off.
Yeah,
it was really nice. That was just another part of the whole culmination of like the Rangers just had no chance of losing that game.
And I mean, compared to the weather 10 years ago at Yankee Stadium, I thought like, you know, it was a little windy yesterday, but like,
yeah,
you know, the Yankee Stadium experience was fucking torture as far
brutal.
As
and the day game was worse than the night game.
Yeah.
Do you guys think that goal was the biggest goal of Mika's career to date? Like, no, I know in terms of like obviously a playoff goal is like more important and stuff, but I'm saying in terms of environment and in terms of just like changing atmosphere, like fully getting people behind him at one of his goals in time. Like, do you think that was the biggest goal of his career?
Actually, yeah, now that I think of it, probably
regular season. Yeah. I mean,
not even that, just because of the way his season's kind of been going, even though he's been a point per game player, he's had a lot of weight on his shoulders in terms of the fans and how they feel about his 1C production. I think that, yeah, just being there in that moment with 7x the amount of fans you get in the actual NHL arena, 100%.
And Johnny, you were about to say the opposite. So what were you going to say?
No, I was just thinking of a goal. I mean, the only other game I would make a claim for would be that 5-goal game he had. But like I was just thinking of any other regular season moment where Mika had a significant goal like that. I mean, I'm sure there's plenty that I can't really think of, but
that angle was insane too.
Even with the playoffs, I still think that is – I was actually agreeing with you. That is like
– I thought you were just saying like in a regular game, and I don't know. So, but
no, yeah. No. I still think, you know, I put that game up there with like being at the St. Louis overtime game, the Richard Stein goal game. Like that was a playoff game. Like I don't care what anyone fucking says. Like I know Rick Carpinello took a lot of shit because he tweeted out like, for the Rangers, this is game 55. For the Islanders, this is game 7. But, like, you ask anyone playing that game, you ask any fan, like, he was making a chirp that, like, the Islanders, like,
just started getting good.
No, like playing the Rangers is a game 7 for them.
Oh. I thought you were saying game 7, and I was like, game 7. I got you. Yeah.
Like a chirp with the fans. But I still think you ask any player, you ask any fan, like, everyone wanted to win that game as badly as you want to win a playoff game. Like, that is something that you talk about, you know, for years to come, even.
Yeah. It's a game you remember. Yeah.
And actually, you know, the game itself, I want to get your guys' thoughts because I talked about it on our morning show this morning, but I bit my tongue so quick when Laviolette pulled Igor with like 5 minutes left on the power play to give them a 5-on-3 instead of a 4-on-3. I was up there and I was like, oh, I don't know about this move, guys. I don't like this because a 4-on-3 is like a pretty solid advantage and the Islanders have a free reign to go for the empty net.
Yeah. But
the Islanders had scored empty net goal the whole year. The Islanders have not scored empty net goal all year long.
Yeah,
I like the first one. The first one I didn't disagree with. The first one I didn't disagree with. I think you give yourself a 5-on-3 in that opportunity when you're down. Like you just haven't really had a chance to make anything happen in that game. Like up to that moment, really, like anything that you really needed a spark. Like I think that was the right move. The second one, the power play with what it was like 2 minutes left. That one, I was
over like 2.5.
That one, crazy. I was a little bit like, maybe just get possession
before the face-off.
Dude, without possession, that
was the one I was like, whoa, what are we doing? Because we had been great in face-offs up to that point. It felt like the Islanders were winning a lot of draws, and I was like, I don't know the exact numbers. We might have been up down, but the way the overall game it felt face-off wise, it felt like the Islanders were winning the big draws. So I was like, whoa, Lavi, like let's just get possession here. You could always pull him and bring the guy on, like. Let's ease up, but it paid off. He was ballsy, and Rangers took care of business.
I mean, it was a crazy move. Like you know, if you do it, and we have possession, fine. But like before possession, I mean, that could have backfired so badly. But honestly, like I respect it immensely.
Well, obviously, yeah.
I think that's like you took a gamble on your squad, and he basically was telling the Rangers players, like, I'm betting on you guys to get this done. And they obviously didn't disappoint. So, like, you know, small class.
I mean, yeah, I'll go snaps. But the power play, I mean, those guys, like, they went to work, man. And you look at the game and how it transpired, like, the big guys step up. And that is, you know, something I feel like in the outdoor games, typically you see, like, an unsung hero. Mm-hmm. You know, you think about 2012, it's Mike Rupp scoring two goals. You think about the Yankee Stadium game, it's Daniel Carcillo scoring the game winner. And this game, the goal scorer is, like, you know, Gus gets the first one, but then it's Trocheck with two, Mika, Kreider, Brett. Like, it's the guys that you need to score the goals who score the goals. And I think, you know, Avery, I know you tweeted about it too, that video of them in the locker room after the game. Like, you watch that video, and I swear this is the first time this year where even the win streak early in the season, I was like, okay, you know, it's early. But after that win and after the video in the locker room, I think it's fair to say now, like, and again, you know, there's a lot to work on still, but you have that feeling that there's some sort of magic again.
Right. It reminded me of, like, the Marty St. Louis, like, announcing the lineup type vibes. Like, the guys were just vibing. Everybody was fired up. Even before the game, to bring in Mike Keenan and Mark Messier, like, dude, that moment. I can't believe they didn't even show that on TV, that we had to wait for that. I mean, I know it was long, but they could have cut it up. And then you get the McDonald family announcing the lineup. Like, everything about the day just felt right.
Magic. They did it right.
Amazing.
And not to kick Islanders fans when they're down, but can we just talk about, like, they're the lamest franchise of all time for coming out in suits? Like, that's next level lame. So lame.
Yeah. I hate to do it, but I want to get, like, I don't think they're a bad team. I really don't. I think that
they're fine. Yeah.
I think that they just didn't capitalize when they needed to in terms of putting us away. But by any means, like, if they make the playoffs as a team, you don't want to see there. They're strong.
They didn't capitalize, dude. They took fucking three penalties in the last 10 minutes of the game.
And I feel like it was almost reverse, like, karma. Like, we got good juju because that goal, the goal where Lindgren went down.
Yeah,
that was just an unfortunate situation. There's no way he's wide open if Lindgren doesn't go down. And obviously, it's not a penalty. Like, that's, you know, we've had calls go our way in terms of the follow through, so you can't get mad at it. But it was also just like, we deserve something to come back our way because of that. So it was nice to see the boys pull through. Yeah,
and Igor really, like, you know, the first 20 minutes he didn't play great hockey, but those last 40 minutes, I mean, you know, he woke up. It seemed like the defense was playing a little bit tighter, and he made some really big saves.
I wish I had it on video. There was one save. There was one save. I literally said, "Remember that save." No. It was he was on. So if you were looking straight at the ice from the, like, the 230 sections, he was on the right side. So it was the third period. He made a pad save on the right pad save where he kind of, like, sprawled out. I forget who was on. I'm gonna have to look it back. But it was a huge save, and I was literally just like, remember this moment, because if there was anything that was gonna get them back in the game, it was that moment. I think the Islanders took a penalty like a minute after, not even.
Oh, damn. Yeah.
And it was Scott Mayfield who took back-to-back penalties, dude. Islander fans are so salty right now at him.
Yeah.
It's insane. But also, like, you know, you think about that game, and, like, I was surprised after the fourth goal that Igor stayed in the goal.
Dude, fans were chanting.
I really thought that Laviolette was going to turn to Jonathan Quick. Like, you know, it was pretty ugly there for a second. I don't even know if Lavi was asked after the game. I wonder if that's something he'll touch on maybe tomorrow morning. I think he's going to have a press availability tomorrow morning. But, you know, the decision to stick with him through that, like, you know, credit to Laviolette again for doing that.
And it builds points and confidence with your goalie who you need to ride out in this stretch. And I think that's really important. You know, I think I'm sure when that fifth goal went in, I'm sure Igor even thought at some point he was probably like, all right, I might, you know, get the boot here, and Lavi stuck with him, and, you know, big props.
Mm-hmm.
Should we get some questions?
Yeah, should we get into some questions?
Yeah.
We have a lot. I'm not gonna pick all of them, but there's a couple here that stand out. Like we don't want to do trade deadline shit right now, right, dude? Like, let's just stick with the
I think we should do that next week because it's getting It's getting close.
Save those questions for next week.
Yeah, I want to enjoy this win.
Scored two goals today. He's gonna cost the first.
Frank.
Yeah.
Adam Monty 27. Was that the best comeback you've seen in person?
People were asking.
Person?
I think.
Because I was going to say that when we were at 13th step, that Pittsburgh comeback in the playoffs,
that was
just insane. That 2-0 comeback.
Is that when Cuba scored?
Cody
was at that game. That was game five. That was probably the best comeback I've seen.
That was insane. I wasn't there.
Insane.
But I was also at that game. I can't remember who it was against. It was in 2019 or 2020. And the Rangers were down 4 goals and they came back and won 6-5 or 5-4. I can't remember. Was it against the Oilers or it was against somebody?
Yeah. You know, to be honest, I don't even think it's really fair to compare to Garden moments. I think the Garden and this live in their own category. I think it's just its own. It's in its own section. It was a special game, special moment. Like the Garden moments are completely different, but yeah, it's up there for sure. No matter
easily what. The best outdoor game.
Oh, without a doubt.
Okay. Next one from Shesty Memes. Even though we won, should we be concerned how we were losing 4-1 to the Isles?
No.
Doesn't.
They don't get 2 points.
Comeback wins. It just happens that way. That's the way Johnny hates it, but it's no quit.
First period was bad, though.
Yeah, I mean, but the first period, Igor didn't look his sharpest. The defense was very, very sloppy. I thought offense was playing fine.
They couldn't get anything going offensively. What are you talking about?
I mean, sure. They weren't scoring goals, but
they couldn't even get through the neutral zone.
It was bad. It was bad.
It wasn't a good period.
Cody was drunk.
I certainly was
100%. Every sport is a game of
adjustments. I sobered up for the third.
Every sport's a game of adjustments. Nobody looks back at the Patriots who beat the Falcons when they're down 28-3. Nobody thinks about them in that moment.
That was the last game of the year.
I'm just saying nobody thinks about them in that moment. Everyone thinks about them that they came back and won.
Fresh.
It's just the same thing here. It's just
you
can't think about how they were in the moment in the beginning of the game. It's how they finished.
They got 2 points, and that's what matters.
Exactly.
And they finished very strong.
Yep.
All right, next one from K1TL3R. I just don't even know how to say that. Which goal was more hype, game tying or overtime?
Game tying. Oh, it's not even close.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, my God.
The overtime was a little bit less anti. If it was just a full, counted, probably, but the Mika goal to tie the game, man. Yeah. I actually passed out. You don't see it in the video, but I screamed so loud, I just passed out.
Next one from Girl Dad times 2. How is the view from your seats or just a better experience?
I don't really know. Yeah, my view was solid. Johnny sucked for sure, but ours was pretty
good. Mine was terrible. My view is terrible. Literally so bad. I mean,
Johnny watched the whole game on TV. You could just say it. It's fine.
Well, no. So the TV is always a 30-second delay, and there were a lot of TVs in the press box. So a lot of the time, I was seeing what's happening on the ice, but I couldn't really see what was happening.
Yeah.
So I did have to look over the TV and, just watch the delayed game. It did suck. But,
it's insane if you think about it that you looked around in the 400s. There wasn't one empty seat in that stadium.
Yeah,
it's insane.
Yeah, I'm blessed. The residual of me moving to Florida and not getting to go to that many games at the Garden is we sell a lot of tickets, so we're fortunate to get really good seats. We were row 1 and 237, which was
Your seats look sick.
Yeah, they were really good.
Yeah, I was 124, I think, 124.
Next one from Sorkin Matthew 10. Has Lof quietly been the Rangers' best player?
I wouldn't go that far because we have a guy named Panarin on our team, but I think Lof played a really good game, and he had what did he end up with? 2 assists.
He had an assist on Mika's tying goal.
Yeah, 5th, and I think the third goal as well. Maybe he had an assist. Sure.
He's not the best, but he's by far the most improved, and it's not even close.
He's on pace. I think for 49 points or 50 points, one or the other.
Yeah, he's been phenomenal. He draws that.
Yeah, 2 assists.
Yeah, I mean, he draws that penalty, changes the game completely.
Yep.
And he's been a gamer. He's one of the best, and I don't know how far you guys get into analytics, but he's one of the best puck carriers this season in terms of every forward. He's been He has one of the highest percentages of carrying the puck into the offensive zone with speed and protection. So he's been phenomenal.
Yeah.
Next one from Joe Manzi 55. Dream outdoor game location.
Oh.
Central Park would be fucking epic. I don't know how you do it, but that would be epic.
The only thing about Central Park is like, I guess if we're dreaming, they would be able to set it up the way we wanted it to.
Have it in the zoo. have lions on the outside.
I'm trying to think. Dude, Rangers Devils on the Hudson River. If they could figure out some way to freeze it. We're talking about dreams, guys.
Yeah, no, I know.
You want to talk about a realistic dream? They did Yankee Stadium already.
Yeah.
And this honestly, area, Lake Placid would be elite.
That would be elite.
But where? Like just on
where
the
they played Miracle on Ice.
They have an outdoor rink.
That's an indoor arena, Kobe.
I know it's indoor.
They have it next door though.
I thought he was just saying dream location for a game.
They played the Miracle game.
Yeah, I know. And like that, like Lake Placid is where they played
in the town.
Yeah, just wherever. Who cares?
I can't even think of like a
dude. I mean, on the Intrepid, but it's just a closed off with us
on Frying Pan.
Yeah. The realistic one, though, I would say, which like I feel like this ballpark deserves way more attention, but the team fucking sucks. What is it? PNC.
PNC's where the Pirates play.
Yeah, like that is the best backdrop in all of sports. Sick.
I actually disagree with you. I would say it's number two. Colorado Rockies is better.
I haven't seen that one.
It's cool, insane. But I think PNC is the best. Just the bridge.
But PNC's backdrop sick, but it's only sick if you're on the right side. Like right. It sucks.
I sat up top when I went to a game there, and I was like, "This is the sickest fucking ballpark."
Yeah, no, it's awesome. It's awesome.
Rangers Penguins would be electric.
Yeah, how are that'd be sick. That'd be sick.
Yeah. Okay,
like Crosby's last year.
I thought we were only talking about in New York, but hey.
Funce podcast, was Sunday the most iconic regular season game in New York Rangers history? If not, what's ahead of it?
It's a good question. I mean, yeah, probably. Like, you know, I don't know. At least in my time, like living, yeah, I would say probably. It was awesome.
Yeah, I would say right there. I really wish the Rangers would have won on Henrik Knight. I would put that up there too.
Dude, that was so bad. We got smoked by Minnesota. That was so miserable because the whole ceremony was awesome, and then they just like killed it.
Yeah,
we lost. Wait,
did we lose on Henrik Knight on like that last second play that like they didn't call a goal because it was we
pushed on the
it
against the Wild? Yeah, but we were down. Don't you remember we were down like 6-2 or something like that, and then we came back and then lost.
Damn,
they waved the goal off.
I don't remember. Here's a really good one from Goth Brooks RVA. The pregame entrances and fits for the Devils and Flyers were hilarious and maybe a little jealous. Given the history core, what kind of personality pops could make New York Rangers more fun? In quotes. Fun.
What kind of personality pops? What do you mean by?
I was thinking about what they were going to do after we saw the Devils and Flyers ones. And I was like, really nothing else would fit more than what they did with the NYPD and FDNY. I don't really know like what else really fits
as far as like humor goes or whatever.
I thought it was
pretty good.
It was perfect.
You know, the Islanders are a bunch of lamos. They were Wall Street bankers. I guess that's, you know, that's what they went for. But
I would say the only other one, but like the Devils kind of did it with Sopranos. If they were like the Rangers came out like old school mafia guys with like the pinstripe suits and like the three pieces. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But that would be like way too close to Soprano, so I feel like,
I feel like
they just did it perfect.
I actually like, I don't even know.
Shout out to my guy Lydell Harrington. He was walking with Keandre.
JJ was walking with Panera, and I was talking to him.
So sick.
Yeah.
Peretta?
Yeah.
You know Peretta?
Bro, we had him on the pod, you moron.
True.
Why you call him JJ? All boys with JJ, man. Come on.
Wait, do we call him? Is his nickname JJ?
Yeah, dude.
Really?
He refers to himself as that.
I didn't know that. That's called him. That's my bad. Let's see. Anything else on here that's good? I think that's really it for fan questions as far as like the game goes. Everything else is pretty much like
trade deadline. Should we do one trade deadline question?
Sure. We can go with.
It's gonna be like, who are we gonna get?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it's like, now that Wheeler's out, who's the first line right wing? You know.
Okay, I have something for you guys. So
yeah.
Lindy kind of got hurt, right? So
yeah, but that happens every game.
He'll be fine. He'll be fine.
Know, but do you think? So this is my question. Right? The deadline's 2.5 weeks away. Do you think Drury should make at least one move this week, knowing that he's showing the team that's on a 7-game win streak that he's backing them while they're kind of banged up and they need somebody in there? You know, they're obviously hurting a little bit. They're a little banged up. They lost Wheeler, obviously sucks. They lost Hedl, obviously sucks. Lingering got hurt. Like, do you think rather than continuously going to the AHL to get, you know, recycled guys or whatever you want to call them, that they should make some type of trade while the team's riding high and you know, Drury kind of showing his guys that he's backing him a little? Or do you think it's a smarter move to wait closer to the deadline and strike a couple times then?
Well, I think the conversations have already started. I think it's more about putting pieces together and having, you know, I guess whatever deals come through. I don't know if he hasn't been, like, I think he's been trying already.
Confirmed.
Yeah, I mean, well, there was conversations going on during All-Star break. You know, it's funny, yeah. Actually, I had a funny moment yesterday with Vince and Larry Brooks. Like, we were waiting outside the locker room after the game to like go in and talk to the players, and Chris Drury walked by and like said something to Larry, and Vince looked at Larry and goes, "Did he say Petrano?" Like, yeah, it was kind of funny. We all laughed about it, but
God, I love your little.
No, yeah, that was a funny little thing that happened, but that made Larry laugh too. But
that's great.
No, I still think, to me, it's the two guys I would want to see come here are like Boone Jenner and Frank Petrano. Two guys with term. I think term is what matters. Like, you have that. You know, I'm not sure if I think Jenner has 2 years left on his deal, and I think Frank has one. And that's kind of the window that this team has, right? The next 2 years to kind of go.
I would say between 2 and 4. I mean, think about it. They have the majority of the core locked up for 4 years. So I would say between 2 and 4. Obviously Jenner will fit the mold nicely. There's like no brainer. Three teams you need to exploit and see what's up is the Ducks, the Kraken, and the Predators. Like, those three teams have, each of them have 3+ guys available.
Calgary too, but we don't need
Calgary too, but I don't think, you know, I don't know how that'll float, but like, you know, the Kraken obviously have Yanni Gord, who I think is sick, and Eberle, who knows how to play in New York. And then that guy Wenberg, I know, is getting a lot of stuff there. So, you know, and obviously the Ducks have a bunch of guys we talked about, and the Predators, I've been saying to you guys for a while, I think Tommy Novak would be pretty good on this team, and he would obviously slide right into the 3C. So there's a lot of options this trade deadline, which I feel like in previous deadlines we haven't had. There's been like the 3 or 4 stars, and then after that it's just like little guys. This season, I think Lindholm was the only real star available. He's gone, and now you have like 40 guys who can contribute to an extent.
I want to say one thing on that. You go first, Avery.
No, I was just saying, I just feel like that Drury probably doesn't feel rushed right now. You're on the
seven. Because there's so many guys.
Yeah, you're on the 7-game win streak. You're calling up guys to see who fits in your bottom six. And then they obviously know they have to make a move and fill that first right wing slot. Is it Vetrano? I don't know, but it feels like it's almost destiny with the way he's talked about New York and the way, you know, he played for us already. He knows the system, and I just think that him coming in would probably be the best bet for that right wing slot. I just don't know how much it's going to cost. He continues to play well, but if, like Johnny said, if you get a guy with term, the cost becomes a little less significant to our future because we have him in that window. So I think that if you get guys, if you spend a lot of money or in terms of draft picks and you get guys with term, it makes sense.
I've heard they're deep in negotiations, Vetrano for Barclay Gaudreau 1-for-1. And it's going to be pretty, you know, it'll be emotional.
Listen, everyone wants to trade Goody. I think they care too much about him in that locker.
They for sure do. Johnny, what were you going to say?
I was talking to my cousin Jason last night. He was like been on the show a couple of times, and we were just talking about the way that this team, like, I know they've only won one cup in the last, what, like 84 years is what the math is, right? Something like that.
Yeah.
Something like that. But like, so I want to be careful how I say this, but the Rangers never really have a problem retooling, right? So if they were to get rid of some guys, like, I don't want to see either Othman or Perreault go. Like, I'm just going to say that now.
For
If one of those two is traded, big no-no.
Yeah.
Like, I'd rather trade current guys. Like I'm giving up Kako before I'm giving up Othman or Perreault.
Couldn't agree with you more. I know how you feel, Avery, on it, but
yeah,
I agree.
I agree with that statement, though, 100%.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because, like, I think you can get rid of some of the younger guys on this roster now and, like, feel comfortable knowing what you have with two guys like Perreault and Othman and being able to retool and sign free agents and make trades in the future. Yep. I don't think the Rangers and I know there will be a lot of people who disagree with that because a lot of successful teams have built through the draft. But when you have an organization like the New York Rangers, I don't think you have to rely on building through the draft to be successful. Like, it's tough to compare them to Vegas, but it's not like Vegas built their team through the draft and won a cup. Like,
right.
They got good because people wanted to go there and people wanted to get traded there. Like, that was a big part of it. You know, like, I think the Rangers are lucky enough to be in that sort of category where they can get rid of guys knowing that people will want to come here. And I just wanted to say that because, you know, and I was just using Kako as the example, but there's a lot of, I feel like, attachment to players right now because of what they could be someday. But fuck someday. Go for it now.
Like, I agree, that's dude. Don't be the Yankees. Don't be the Yankees, like, where you stick with your guys too much.
Yeah,
there is a guy tearing it up, 3 goals in his last 10 games. I think he could be really useful to us. He plays, you know, his name's Vitali Kravtsov. And, you know, I hear he's familiar with the situation here in New York. So,
well, you know what I'm saying, though? I think.
Wait, are you
Rangers
serious?
Fans have experienced what?
No, it wasn't serious, dude. That guy could literally get strapped to a rocket and sent to the sun, honestly.
that just shows how much I really, like, know about what else is going on in the league.
I don't even think Kravtsov's not even in the NHL.
Yeah,
but, no, he's been placed for Traktor again.
All I was saying was that, like, I think there's a lot of, you know, Ranger fans hang on to, you know, a guy that gets traded and ends up putting up a lot of goals. And, and it's like, how do we get rid of him, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, that's going to happen. It's part of it. But if you can, you know, like my cousin Jason said, like, the worst thing that could happen would be to get rid of Kako and he scores 40 goals in Anaheim. But, like,
who cares?
Whatever.
Who cares?
Like, it happens everywhere, man.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't have done it here. He wouldn't have done it.
Exactly.
The Bruins gave up Zacha and he became like not Zacha, Halla, and he became like the guy in New Jersey for that playoff run. So it's just like,
I'm like Sharangovich in Calgary right now.
Exactly. It happens everywhere. We just micromanage because it's the Rangers. And obviously, you become attached to these guys and you don't want to lose these guys, but it's a part of the business. Now, a guy who we lost who I really want back is Pavel Buchnevich. And if there's any way possible that we can make that happen, Chris Drury, I would be very much in debt to you. So if we can get that KZB line back together, I actually think that not only would we be the Stanley Cup favorite, I think I would put a lot of money on us to win.
I already have money on us to win, bro. And so would you guys say, the last thing I want to say is, would you guys say right now at this point in time, you know, it's February, what's today's date? February 19th. You're saying a top six right winger is more important than a third center, or do you disagree? Like, what do you think is our priorities going into this deadline?
With how well that third line's been playing, like,
set the tone for the game. It was insane.
Yeah, and I mean, let's be real. It's not going to be a top six right winger. It's a top line right winger we need. Like, that second line isn't moving, so we need a one right wing. You know what I'm saying? So, like, everybody's saying top six right winger, like, that's not correct. Like, we need a first line winger.
Yeah, I agree. And I love Johnny Radzinski. I'll say it every episode.
Yeah.
I want to see him. I mean, I definitely think he deserves to be on this roster. Whether you go out and get a third line center and maybe move him over to, like, a wing or bump him down to, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get
a 4C. Get a 4C grinder and get a top right
winger. Joker play the wing too.
Yeah, I mean, they got options. Options. Yeah. So, do you think they need a defenseman going into this deadline, knowing they're kind of one D injury away from catastrophe?
Not catastrophe. Zach Jones.
I mean, Zach's been playing fine. Yeah, he's been playing fine. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think that if you had to put everything aside and there was one thing that the Rangers needed to get, if they could only get one thing, it would be a top line right winger, 100%.
Every year.
All right, baby.
No.
Yeah. What's our cap situation? Do we know?
5.3, maybe.
But yeah, John, you also say every year, but I also feel like this year is a lot different because it finally feels like our second line is solidified. We haven't had any guys bouncing and down from that second line.
Nitro, so baby.
If this year, like, they could just find the guy for that slot. I mean, it's so funny. The two guys that I want back in that slot have both played for us in terms of Vetrano and Buchnevich. So we'll see.
Mm-hmm. I will say – oh, sorry. Go.
No, I was just going to say right now, for some reason, Cat Friendly says we only have – 4.4 at the deadline, but my guess is maybe it's because right now they have they got a couple guys called up, like Rempe and the guy Alex Belzeal and a bunch of other people.
That's definitely it.
Yeah, because that'll give us another 1.5.
We did have one more question from a fan. I wanted to find it. Okay. Ryan Griffo 25. Do I get my 2024 Stadium Series jersey with Mika or Bread? I know, Avery, was it Jake or Ethan that had the blank jersey that had
Jake
the same?
Jake got the blank. He actually wanted to get Johnny Brodzinski on the back.
Oh, yeah, that'd be sick. Yeah,
that's the boy. There's a guy, one of his Jake's buddies, like, does like custom. He can literally get like any. I forget the guy's name. I wish I could, his name's Oscar. I wish I could plug his Instagram. I don't have it, but he, like, if you get a blank jersey, he literally can get kits for any single jersey, any player you want. So Jake's going to do that. I think Panarin is the obvious choice, though.
Trocheck would be the player I'd get.
Yeah, him or
Trocheck. I got Kreider, and it never fucking came in time. So,
well, no, I like the idea, though, of these special jerseys, like getting it blank and then waiting till after the game to put a player on it who, like, you know, was the player to remember in that game. So it kind of makes that jersey more memorable. You know what I mean? Like, it would suck to get, like, who's the guy that was, like, kind of irrelevant yesterday.
Not really anybody, but I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. I know. Well, he did have an assist in the first.
Yeah,
but I know what you're saying. I think Jake's very smart. Jake's very smart with his jerseys. He doesn't like anything heat pressed. He's very adamant about getting the right jerseys stitched and whatnot. So I commend him for that. But to me, it was like when I look back, you know, 20, 30 years. And, you know, even when my kids want to wear like jerseys and they're looking for a vintage jersey, it's like my guy was Panarin. Like when I look at my dad's jerseys and I think about who his favorite players were when he was growing up, I want to wear like an Esposito jersey or guys who were like sick at that time. So like, it was just a no brainer to get Panarin. He is the guy, you know, besides Henrik, he's the guy in our lifetime that's just like stolen the show for us.
Kreider too. Kreider too. I feel like
I know. But like Breadman coming in, like, easily.
No, totally. He changed this franchise. Yeah. I mean, he changed 100%. This franchise. I mean, he's my favorite athlete. Like, he changed this franchise. Dude, you know.
I also do want to shamelessly plug myself. I want to plug in the clip of Mika and Bread after the game. I thought that was like,
you were about to say when you skated at MetLife and you had the sick little dangle, but then you almost tripped yourself into the fucking boards.
But the way they spoke after the game, man, like, that was unbelievable. I don't know if you guys saw the clip.
It was
great.
It was a cool clip. I don't like to give you props too much because it gets to your big head. But, no, it was a really, really thoughtful question, thought out, you know, and it was an awesome answer.
For either of you guys, you both played in front of a ton of European crowds. Just as far as the spectacle of the event goes, you know, walking in, wearing, you know, fun outfits, coming in on a fire truck, winning in overtime, all the fans, like, where does the spectacle kind of rank for something you've experienced in your life before?
I just almost cried before the game already, so that was hard for me. Да, на самом деле атмосфера шикарная, особенно когда мы на пожарных и полицейских машинах ехали. Шикарная атмосфера. Я на самом деле боролся со слезами, когда понял, где я нахожусь, подумал об этом. Еще раз большое спасибо болельщикам. Этот опыт был шикарен.
Honestly, I have to say the atmosphere was electric, and it was something I couldn't compare anything else to with. I had to hold back tears just because it was that much of a spectacle. And once again, I'd like to thank the fans for giving it that electric feeling, that wave of emotion.
how am I going to top that? No, I mean, it's...
By translator, everything?
No, I think you did a pretty good job. I don't know, but... I think this is... just from, you know, the first times you've been seeing these outdoor games happening, you get to be a part of it, and this one in particular, I think, just being at MetLife here with the way it's, I guess, constructed with, I feel like everyone's close, everyone's kind of, it's perfect dimensions in terms of that. Hearing our fans before the game, even just playing some soccer and seeing them on the way in, it's, this is definitely at the top of my list of experiences and games and memories I will take with me forever.
And
I had chills. But yeah. Panarin's just the best.
Yeah, he's the best.
Really,
he saved his translator's job over there. So
I really wish, like, okay, so off topic, but wouldn't you kill to have like Artemi Panarin host SNL?
Yeah,
I mean, it would never happen.
It would never happen in a million years, but yeah. I feel like he's just so lovable. Like, it'd be unbelievable.
Yeah. Like, and then, like, have, like, cameos from guys like Lof. Like, Lof, you can just tell, is, like, the silly goose on the team. Like, everybody just loves messing with him. And he's, like, the kind of – I see people referring him to him as, like, the golden retriever of the Rangers this year because he's in all those, like, goofy videos. Yeah, it's a really fun team this year, guys. Like, I know the year against Carolina, there was, like, the no-quit New York team, and there was a lot of fun behind them. But after seeing the videos we talked about earlier, the videos from last night, it was just like, man, this team has something special right now.
Yeah, and we're here for the ride, and, you know, we appreciate
it. Dude, they could have given the hat to anybody. They gave it to Rempe. That's when you know they're just all
– I mean, we didn't even talk about him, really. Like, what a fucking day.
Debut, man.
Yeah.
Dude, holy ringing shit. It up with Matt Martin right off the jump. That was awesome.
The whole story is, you know, I think it was 6 years since he lost his father, getting his NHL debut, the first to ever debut in the NHL in an outdoor game. Like, what a moment for him to get to do. The only thing that I was like, I felt bad for is like his skate, his like, what do they call it? Rookie lap?
Rookie lap.
There was still ice crew on the ice. It like didn't really, like, I was like, come on, like, we got to get off the ice.
He said that after the game. Well, he did a rookie lap, I think against Tampa, maybe. So he's already done a rookie lap, but he was scratched in that game. So he didn't play.
Yeah.
So they gave him another rookie lap. And so the last one, he like fucked around with the puck, but then didn't play. And this one, he didn't even have a puck to fuck around with, but he did it in front of 80,000 people.
Yeah.
And it's funny, after the game, I asked him if he's going to keep doing a solo lap while the team keeps winning. Cause like, it'd be pretty funny if they just, honestly, like if they just kept giving him like a lap before the games,
I'd be
the
win streak,
it'd be pretty fucking hilarious.
Yeah. All I want to ask is if you're going to keep doing a rookie lap with you guys keep winning every game.
That'd be up to troops.
I mean, what was that feeling like though? I imagine, like, you know, the nerves, was that more nervous than that lap than playing the actual game?
No, that was fun. I enjoyed that. That was pretty cool. You had to go out there and outdoor ring in front of, how many were there today? 70,000, 80,000? Just the ice crew was still on the ice, so I didn't take any pucks. So I think I've had two interesting rookie laps. First one I didn't play, and the second one I didn't even take a touch of puck. So a couple of interesting laps.
Yeah. How many texts do you think you're going to have to answer after this
one? Oh, I already looked at my phone and I bought the answer. Yeah.
Did you ask?
All right. Last thing I wanted to say.
Yeah, we had like seven last things.
I know.
You know, before your last thing, I got one last thing. One of the coolest things I've ever seen in hockey, and not related to Rangers, Jágr skating in the pregame warm-up.
Yeah, that was sick.
That was so cool, man.
Yeah. Okay, did Mika get stripped of his A in the game?
No,
they've been rotating all year.
Okay. I thought for like stadium series, they just everybody who's an A, they give it to him. I know usually during the games they rotate three and three, but okay, that makes sense.
I think Mika
Johnny hacking a lung over there.
Yeah, I'm dying.
Dude, take some dude, do you have a juice generation by you?
I don't think so.
You should look up. They have this
one. The wheatgrass shot or whatever?
No. They have this one like hot drink. It's called like the Cold Warrior. Dude, they serve it to you hot. It's a lifesaver.
It helps.
But all right, we won't bore you with that. Yeah. We appreciate all of you, and we'll see you next week. LFGR, baby.